So I'm going to show you a video now, which is one of our testimonies this morning. But I just want to show it now before the young people and children go out, because it's really important. The reason we're having testimonies this morning is it's really important for us to tell our stories of how God is at work in our lives, because we proclaim every Easter that Jesus is alive. But that proclamation should resonate throughout the year and throughout our lives as we live them as disciples of Jesus. So this is our first testimony this morning.
My name is Quinton Stowell. I'm 46 years old and I am the coordinator of Harrow Street Pastors. We are a group of Christians from all denominations, and we patrol the streets of Harrow on a Friday and Saturday night, 10 till 4 in the morning, just helping, caring and listening. I got involved in this work when someone came along to our church to give a talk on what street pastors are, and I was really inspired by their basic principles of just helping, caring and listening on the streets in a non-judgmental way. We've had many memorable experiences out on the streets. For me, one of the most memorable was finding a young man who was sleeping rough behind a skip. All his clothes had been soaked in a storm, and we were able to take his clothes, wash them, dry them for him the next day as the next patrol went out, and get him into a night shelter. And then a few weeks later, he became a Christian, and that was just amazing news. Our most important resource is the group of Christians that we work with. We have 20 different churches involved from all the different denominations, and the prayer support just really keeps us going. This vocation has changed me in giving me new experiences and meeting a whole variety of people. So that gives me a better understanding of humanity, society and the real world that we live in. It is amazing that we go out and we pray before we go out, and we don't know what's going to happen, but we trust that God will be with us. And so many times I've seen God working through us, through our hands and feet, to see people's lives changed.
So, do speak to your vicar if you feel you've got a calling to street pastors, but also if you're feeling, you know, that there are other things that you're thinking, maybe I'm just being called into that. You know, various people do come and say, actually, I think God might want me to be doing this. Can I do that? And invariably my answer to that is, who am I to get in the way of what God might be calling you into? So yes. And I just want people to know that God actually works in their lives and does speak to them and calls them into things. So loving God, we pray for us as we open ourselves to what you are saying this morning. We pray your spirit upon us and upon our children and young people. Whether we've got little ones staying with us or older ones going out to hear more of you, may we be open to what you're saying to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So please do remain seated for our first Bible reading, which Andy's going to read to us.
Our first reading from the Bible, if you wish to follow it in the church Bibles, it's on page 1178 towards the back. And it's Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 to the end of the chapter. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I am torn between the two. a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. This is the word of the Lord.
Standing for our gospel reading, which Simon is going to read to us.
The gospel reading is Matthew 20, verses 1 to 16, and it's on page 987 of your Bibles. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want to with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Please do be seated. I love that gospel. It's this scandalous and unfair generosity of God in calling everybody at all times, whether they deserve it or not, to come and work in the vineyard. It's a great passage for this morning. So I'm going to invite Keith and Rosemary to come out now, because they're going to tell us a bit of their story. Keith's going to go first, and then Rosemary. I would like you to warmly welcome them, because obviously it can be a little bit nerve-wracking coming and sharing our stories with each other, but it is something that we should be doing. So this is Keith. Keith, just say now, how long have you been coming to St. Michael's?
1997.
7, so Keith's been here, is a long worker in this particular vineyard. How long have you been?
I only started coming to this church at Easter.
Sorry, so this is Rosemary. You've been a Christian, obviously, yes. for longer than that, but you're very welcome. We're really pleased to have you both as part of us. Can I invite you to... Do you want to hold this, take it off, and then we can see you? You can hold it up. Rosemary, if I invite you to... Rosemary, let me pray for you both before you... There we go. So, loving God, we thank you for our brother and sister among us as they tell us about your work in their life. We ask for your blessings upon them. May your spirit fill them as they talk of you in this way. In Jesus' name, amen.
As I said, it was 1997 I started coming to St. Michael's, and prior to 1977 I wasn't a Christian, however I was C of E. So in 1995 Andrew and I became pale parents the first time of Jay, our son, and Andrew took Jay to the toddler group at All Saints at Blackwell Hall. And she got speaking to another mother there and talked about schools, and this mother recommended St. John's. The thing with St. John's is a Church of England school, and to get in St. John's you have to be a regular churchgoer. So Andrew spoke to Hugh Jakeman, Francis Jakeman at the time, and he said that St. Michael's was our parish church, so therefore we started to come to St. Michael's. It was after about 6 months. It was during a sermon on communion. I mean, we only came really to get Jay into St. John's. That's our purpose here. However, after a bit, 6 months, there was a sermon on communion. And I just got a calling. It wasn't words, it was more of a feeling, and it was more of a pull towards the Lord's table. Up until this point in my life, I had this terrible fear of death, and you know, where were there, was there something? Was there nothing? You know, what would happen when I die? But after this calling, after I took the bread and wine for the first time, I just felt that all lifted off me. I felt the Holy Spirit enter me. I felt joy. I felt peace. I felt like I was now part of God's family, and I had no worries, fear of death. I know where I'm going. I'm going to God's kingdom. Funny enough, when I went back to my seat, I told my wife, Andrea, about this, and she said, it must be the wine. In October 1997, I was confirmed. Same again, Andrea said, if that's what you want to do, that's fine by me. So I kept on praying for... Andrea. Andrea's happy that I found God, but it wasn't for her. And about a year later, she went to an Alpha course at St. Paul's in South Harrow. Thought she'd take herself away from St. Michael's and just go and find out what I'd been going on about for the last year. Anyway, after a Holy Spirit day, she came back on a Saturday, did a great smile on her face, and just told me, I get it now. And I mean, the joy that I felt for her was the same joy that I felt at the cross, that she now understood and felt the love of God. Where have I got? Jay was born in 1985, Alicia was born in 1998, and Abigail in 2001. And we all came to church as a family. I mean, Jay's now at Nottingham University, Alicia goes to college, can't always make Sunday morning. I think Abby sneaked in the back and out is outside with Mum at the present time. And everything was rosy. I mean, I loved serving God and everything was happy. I had a good job. And then in the year 2000, I was told I was going to be made redundant. Fortunately, they offered me a 2-year project, which I took. So I spent 2 years on this project. There was 2,000 people who were working at the company, and most of those were all made redundant in one fell swoop in the year 2000. I stayed on with about 70 others to do this project, and during that time we got quite close, and a lot of us said, well, what are you going to be doing once you leave here, you know? And I said, I haven't got any worries. I know God's going to look after me. He's looked after me all this time. I'm quite happy. Anyway, come just before Christmas, got made redundant. I took Christmas off, had a wonderful time. January, done some decorating. February, went to Tenerife. Come March, I thought, job. Anyway, applied for about 40-odd jobs. Nothing, not even a reply. And I started to worry, and now I started to doubt. And I thought, God, you know, I thought you're going to be there for me. I thought you're going to find this job for me. But sure enough, I prayed, Andrew was praying, if you want to keep this family in this parish, then find Keith a job. Near the end of the month, my sister called me up. She works for a firm of accountants. We do payroll for about 200 companies. And it was the end of year payroll. Would you like to come in, do some temporary work for a month, do an end of year payroll? I jumped at it. It wasn't great money. It was a job. After what turned out to be 1 month turned into 4 months, I've done a bit of IT work for them while I was there. And then finally, they brought someone in to do the payroll full time. So I said, fine, thank you very much. Enjoyed the 4 months. I thought that was it. Had a week off, went away on holiday for a week, come back to a voicemail from the MD saying that the IT director just resigned and in 2 weeks' time was off to New Zealand. Would I be interested in a 7-month contract to cover summer payroll and do a bit of IT work? Same again, I jumped at the chance. Did negotiate a slightly higher rate of pay, but I was there 1 month. I did 1 hour on payroll. Most of my work was all IT. There was 3 offices I had to look after. And I thought, they need someone full-time doing this. And Andrew said, have you prayed about it? I mean, a lot of times it's, have you prayed about it? And a lot of times you say, no. So I took time out. I asked the Lord to just give me an opportunity to speak to the directors. Sure enough, that Wednesday afternoon, the MD came over from Maidenhead. I was in Charlefont. He said, Keith, can I have a word? And I thought, opportunity. He said to me, the directors and I realised we need a full-time person doing this job. I know it's not what you were doing before. And I thought, Keith, quick, get in there quick before they offer it to someone else. But before I had a chance, they said, we'd like to offer you a full-time position. How much do you want to be paid? I didn't go overboard. I asked for what I was on before I got made redundant, and they said, fine. So time has gone past. I mean, I've been there 11 years now. Everyone in the firm knows I'm a Christian. I've prayed for many of my colleagues through those times, through difficult times for some. And it's, as I say, it was just an answer to prayer. However, in in 2007, after a short illness, my mum was taken into hospital on a Sunday morning. I got a call from my sister to say, no, mum's in hospital. So I said, well, it's Northwick Park, I'll go up there. I got up there, she was on oxygen, she wasn't good. I stayed up there most of the afternoon. Then Alan Hume from St. Paul's arrived and we prayed for my mum, because it's my mum's church. He left, and the day just went. My sister and my dad came up. My mum was still in accident and emergency, but you know, she was, you know, they had all sort of leads and needles in her. They wanted to pump her some more drugs, but they had to send someone in to check her heart. But they said, she's strong, she should be okay. Around about 10 o'clock, they took her to the intensive care. They said, look, just go home and get some rest. Anyway, it was about, I think about 10 o'clock in the morning, we got a call to say, look, you need to come back up to the hospital. So I phoned my sister, my dad, and I said, look, I'll meet you up there. I got there, and the nurse met me, and you're dreading what they're going to say, and it was, take a seat, I'll go and get a doctor. Straight away, I knew what had happened. I knew she'd gone. But fortunately, she was a follower of Christ as well. She believed in our Lord and our Saviour. So I knew that, same again, she would be where she needs to be. She was out of pain. I phoned Andrea up, and she said, she's gone, hasn't she? She knew. She had a vision at home that Jesus had come down and just wrapped her and taken her. So when my dad and sister arrived, it was tough, because they're not believers. My dad goes to church. He says he does it for his mum. I keep praying it's going to be for him. But we went and saw mum, and I prayed. I prayed for mum, because I knew where she was. Not that I didn't have to ask the Lord to take her, because he already had, but I just prayed for her. And I prayed for my dad and my sister and myself. And I don't know, when we left there, we all had a sense of peace. I mean, you know, it was stunned and shocked because it was so quick. But I just pray that God gave me the strength to give my dad and my sister that strength also. So that was in 2007. The last one I want to talk about is my father-in-law, Derek. He went in, same again, into Northwick Park Hospital and had to have a biopsy on his lung. He actually never actually recovered from that. He woke up, he didn't wake up, they had to revive him because his heart had stopped, and they had to incubate him. So he had a tube down his neck. He was taken to Central Middlesex because there wasn't any room in Northwick Park at the time. And he actually spent 12 weeks there with his tube down his neck, not being able to talk. Now, all along, Derek had said to us, you've been brainwashed. This is not, you have been brainwashed. You're the same as anyone else. It's a, you don't know what you're talking about. And all along, he kept on going about us being brainwashed. And we kept on saying, no, we're not. And we kept on praying for him. Anyway, about a week before he actually died, Guy from here came up and was praying for him. Andrew would be up there every day reading the Bible to him. And a week before he died, he gave his life to Christ. I know it was only 1 week before he died, but he gave himself to Christ, and he's got the same reward as all of us will have. He's in heaven now. He's at peace. So I think, let's say, keep praying for people. If you know people who don't know the Lord yet, just keep praying for them. He will never give up on anyone. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Keith. It's great to hear that story and picking out those three moments where, being with God doesn't mean, life is always going to be rosy. Those things, as we know, happen, which are difficult, but it's just that sense of God being with you in all of that. And also talking about work, sometimes I think we forget that, we're here now, but what are we going to be doing this time tomorrow? And are we going to feel God with us? Are we going to know God with us in the Monday morning stuff, in the Monday, work stuff that we're doing just as much as in church on a Sunday morning? So Rosemary, it's now your moment. Thank you. Of course you can. You wave your arms about. Now, I always make a horrendous noise, don't I? So do I just press it?
Good morning, everybody. I'm also going back to 1997 as well, but just prior to that, to give you a bit of background on me, I was actually born and bred in Harrow, and my parents were churchgoers. I went to Sunday school and was in the choir and brownies and all sorts of things, PCC and whatnot, and I left Harrow probably about 1991, and I was thinking about it, and I probably hadn't really belonged to a church as such since about 91, to coming back to St. Michael's this Easter. So yes, I would say I've always been a Christian. Yes, I've always believed in a loving God, but that was really as far as it went. It's like Keith said, yes, I was a Christian, but... and then in 1997, in the March that year, I went on a retreat which was on forgiveness. On the Saturday night, we had a candlelit meditation. And one of the things that we had to do was to open our arms like Jesus on the cross. And I couldn't. I just could not open my arms. I just wanted to be like this all the time, just closed up completely. And whatever happened that night, I forgave God, or God forgave me. It doesn't really matter which way around it was, for killing my father, who died when I was 13. He had cancer and was ill, so you know, wasn't anything his fault. But somewhere along the line, for 28 years, I had held this grudge, totally subconsciously didn't know that I was resenting God for doing this. And then in the summer of that year, I went to New Wine, which I expect a lot of you have heard of. It's like the spring harvest type of thing, with my sister's church, which is St. Peter's in Harrow. And one evening, I was a bit late going down to the worship, and when I got there, there was this man in my seat who turned out to be a Finnish pastor. And at the end of it, he asked my sister if he could pray with me. So, well, all right, and I was a bit petrified, but anyway, he did. And he started telling me all these things about how I was feeling, and I said to my sister, how does he know all this? It was just odd. And she just pointed upwards like that. And it turned out that this Finnish pastor, out of the 7,000 people on our campsite, his caravan was literally a couple of hundred yards from where we were camping. His English was very poor, so his words were very simple, and which is what I needed. So over the next couple of days, I went and he prayed with me, and it was what I needed, and he was telling me all about me and everything else. But somewhere along that process of a few days, the intellectual, yes, of course I know there's a God that loves me, went from my head down into my heart to really, really believe it. And I can remember going around Shepton Mallet, where New Wine is, thinking, you know, God loves me. And it was just really amazing that I had just opened myself up. And then after New Wine, one of the speakers that had come over from the States was back at St. Peter's. And in the church service, he suddenly stopped and pointed to somebody at the back of the church. So I looked round to see who he was looking at. Anyway, unfortunately, it was me. And all of a sudden, there were people that came and were praying for me. And I could just feel the power, sort of almost like a heat coming through from their arms, just praying with me. And I think, looking back, what had happened is that what happened to me in the March of that year, it had just opened me up like a sponge to receive God's love. And it must have just been oozing out, so that people that were, I don't know, that way inclined, could just see whatever it was that I was reaching out for. And even between the March and the summer, I used to go out into the woods and practice opening my arms out, and just to say, here I am, really. And even now, I'm conscious that if I'm sitting, even, say, like sitting in church, how many of us are like this all the time? And I try and put my arms down, and just to be open to this power that I know is there. And one of the things, I'm not quite sure how it came about, but Ezekiel chapter 47, which is the water running through the temple, I always have my vision, and I can remember I was hanging, there's a tree on the edge of this river, and I was hanging on a branch, and I was trying to let go, and now could I, I'm not sure, and I was... And even today, all these years later, I sometimes feel I'm like on a bit of elastic, that I can, yes, I know God loves me and it's in my heart and I have that deep peace within, but to put it into practice every day is sometimes difficult. And I have to try and do his will and not mine and take me out of the equation. So I'm sort of there, but it is a daily thing. It's not just something that's happened. I have to keep working at it. And I always describe I have a tree trunk, and I say that one of the things that this intellectually going from my head to my heart did was that it took away all the, what I call the people-pleasing. So whereas before I'm the world's best people-pleaser, it then came to the fact that actually it doesn't matter what other people think of me, because as long as I know that God loves me, that's all that matters. So my relationship really with anything in this world is between me and my God, or our God, I should say, but my understanding, so that I have my tree trunk. And I just say, if I keep my tree trunk strong on a daily basis, then the branches of that tree are the problems of life. And as long as my trunk is strong, I can deal with all those branches of the little nitty-gritty daily problems. And that's brilliant. So to keep my trunk strong, I have to ask for God's help every morning to pray, whatever. Sometimes I might forget or I get caught up in something. And by 11 o'clock, I'm feeling anxious and just unsettled. And I just think, yes, it's because I haven't prayed this morning, or I haven't had that quiet time to ask for God to run my life instead of me. So it's always very much of thy will, not mine, be done. And we've been singing recently a lot of the songs, it's open the eyes of my heart or open my heart and that sort of thing. And one of the things I think Andy said a couple of weeks ago was open the ears of my heart. And I thought, well, I haven't heard that actually much before, if at all. And I just think, yes, I need to open the ears of my heart. I need to listen. I need to keep myself open to just the power of prayer, that I can carry on doing God's will, which I believe is being honest, loving, unselfish and pure, and to do his will and not mine. And I try and practice that on a daily basis. So I'm here. Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Rosemary and Keith. Thank you both, because I always think it's easy for me to get up and sort of preach on a Bible passage, which is great, and I should do it, and I will do it again. But actually, you know, I always feel much more vulnerable if I'm standing here sharing my heart and talking about my own stuff. So thank you, because it's brave. You may or may not feel it's brave, but it is to do that. And I think we will continue to try and do that over, maybe once a term, maybe invite people up to share their stories so that we get to know more about each other, but also we get to hear those stories of God and know what God is doing amongst us. So thank you. Let me just pray now. So loving God, we pray your blessing and your protection upon Keith and Rosemary as they have shared you, Lord. Just walk with them in their opening up of themselves. May they be blessed as they have blessed us with their stories. And may we be those who tell of your name, tell of you and the things that you are doing and have done in our lives, so that we and our community around us know that you are the living God who reigns even now. So we pray this in Jesus' name.